or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport. You are listening to the station for information and inspiration.
Going on here? What's going on here? We need an order in this place. It's all because of you. You're Scrooge.
I'm Scrooge. You're the music director.
Well, yeah, see, he's got a
sit live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. Let the shopping begin, and let it begin with Jesus.
I'm Dr. John Palmer, and I refuse to follow along with anything that this man, Dr. Shippo, says. He always messes things up. He put on the wrong music. He fouled us up to the whole program. Now we can't do anything we want to do.
Palmer, I'm not taking a rap for this one.
And you're going to blame it on Trevor. I know that. You're going to
blame it on... No, I'm blaming it on you.
Oh, okay. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and welcome.
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. And isn't this so nice that we have the Christmas spirit to begin this day?
And we have, who are our guests?
I don't know.
The owners of the Advent Shop. Oh. And what does tomorrow start?
Are they back again?
Advent. They're friends. Are you kidding me?
Sarah and Tarasita.
The owners of Advent Shop. And by the way, being the owners of Advent Shop, you know, I just want to mention to the listeners out there, you know, now that the shopping phase is starting and people are going crazy and running all over the place, why don't you think about buying something religious? The Advent Shop? Give something religious. Give rosaries. Give a crucifix. Give something that's going to bring Jesus back.
Yeah, but I hate the way the malls are. Can you imagine people shooting someone over a television set? Isn't that ridiculous? And this is because of Christmas? And we're going to save $10? You know, where is the line for Jesus? Where is it? I don't know. Disc two, number one.
Palmer, I think you gave him the wrong directory.
I quit. Where's the
you
line
may have
for
to.
Jesus? It's the other disc.
Okay, hold on, listeners. We're getting our act together. Palmer gave him the wrong directory. It's obvious.
It's not even worth it. I refuse to. I quit. I'm going home. I'm finished. That's it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
This is Advent, and all of our nice stuff is going to go right by the board.
All right, so let's talk about Advent Shop. Let's talk about Sierra and Teresita. Palmer, will you please? Let's talk about your shop. What do you guys have to offer for shoppers? I mean,
you know,
why should they come to you to buy Christmas gifts?
First of all, I think what we need to do is we need to recall that this is the Advent season, and it's not the Christmas season yet. The church liturgically tells us it's a time for preparation and a time of waiting. And one of the things that we have trouble with today is waiting. We don't have the calm and the physical ability to wait anymore. We're an instant on society. We're so used to the microwave that we don't, you know, we watch a crock pot now and we get crazy because it doesn't cook fast enough. And this is a time of preparation.
Absolutely.
But
what do you mean by preparation? Advent is preparing for Christmas.
For the coming of Christ.
So.
And we need to present this time to people by letting them understand what this period means, why the church does what she does. She gives us a time to sit back and to reflect. And one of the ways we do that is by doing the Advent wreath and Advent readings. Every home should have an Advent wreath.
It's funny. That's what I was thinking.
Every home should have one.
The first thing you should be purchasing during Christmas, for preparing for Christmas, is your Advent wreath. Are they ready to be lit tomorrow?
And where can they purchase that Advent?
At the Advent shop.
That's right. Just what I'm getting at. It's time to start thinking about Jesus in your shopping. Get the Advent wreath. Get the book. Get the rosaries. Get the book for rosaries for children. Wonderful stocking stuff is wonderful gifts. All at the Advent shop.
Yes.
That's a commercial, by the way. All right, Palmer, so what did you do?
I want the wrong song. Where's the Line for Jesus?
Okay, so we're going
to And
get
you
it.
Have it. Give me your iPad and put it up to the microphone.
I have it on my iPad. Yeah.
And you better play it because that's the whole point of the show. That's it. Where's the line to see Jesus? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All these disruptions. All these disruptions. I wonder where the disruptions are coming from. Why would we have such confusion? Why should we have such confusion at the beginning of the show? Who does not want the listeners to hear Christmas is for Jesus? Christmas is for Jesus. Christmas is for Jesus. It's not for saving 10 bucks on a television set. It's not for getting a pair of shoes or slippers for somebody who doesn't need them. Those are nice human gifts. But there's such a spiritual wealth beneath the content of everything we see on television that unless we get rid of the spirit of evil that wishes to drive this away from the minds and the hearts of people who make Christmas crash commercialism, unless we do that and fight through those disruptions, just like we had this morning, we're going to be knocked over and knocked out, and Jesus will be lost.
But we survived. We won. We were prepared. We had a backup. You forgot the disc, but we have a backup.
I thought I had the disc. But you know, even okay. that, but even that, if I forgot the disc and left it in my car, that's evil.
I know.
And that's the way evil works. And he takes the best of people, and he really confuses the hell out of them.
I agree.
And
but
we don't want that.
We were prepared, Palmer. We succeeded. We beat him. We won. We played Here's the Line for Jesus.
I understand.
Okay, good.
And I'm not upset with the fact that we won. I just want the listeners to see the battle that must be made daily. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how many halos you wear. You're subject to harassment from evil. And evil does not want us to think about Jesus at Christmas. I made my point,
I
may come back and make it again and again and again because it's so important.
Yeah, I agree. He attacked
us. And that's why we have these gals here, because they are running a shop that's directed by the Spirit of God and the love of God. And while we will talk about things that they would see perhaps useful for you to bring Jesus back into Christmas in your home, we don't want that whole battle overlooked. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So listen, Sarah Tarasita.
He's ignoring
me. Tell us, I mean, give our listeners some ideas how they could bring Jesus back into the shopping, bring Jesus back into Christmas. What do you have to offer? What do you have to, that they can give for gifts? I know I've been to your shop. There are thousands of items there. What ideas can you have? Children's rosaries, the children's rosary book, which is unbelievable. Crucifix, beautiful crucifix. Pictures, beautiful. Paintings. One of your shops, you have paintings. It's amazing. I can't believe where you got them. And how about St. Michael statues that you got there? Beautiful gifts. So,
you know, as I'm listening... And I also want people to understand that, yes, we talk about our shops today, but the bottom line is that the importance of bringing in to this season the Christ child, helping young people to understand.
Amen.
I see this tremendous, I pray about this, there's a tremendous fear today of people, grandparents, parents, in-laws coming in, and they have this want and this need to pass on this beautiful gift of faith to their families, and yet they have this barrier of fear that has beset them, that they're afraid to let their children will be upset with them. I've heard it so many times that it's one of the things that upsets me the most. You know what? I would give that to my grandchild, but I don't want my son to get angry at me. I would give that to my son, but his wife will get upset with me. And one of the things that I stand here as a living testimony to what can happen in a life when you bring something holy into your house, something that reflects the love of God. I'm a living testimony to that. My whole conversion story comes out of receiving a statue of Jesus and a statue of Mary. You know, and I didn't know what to do with them. I put them in the closet. I tell my story. You know, I got them, and I was one of those people who looked at them and said, what do you do with this? But Jesus and Mary wouldn't stay in the closet. They refused. They became part of who I am and part of my life. So I tell people all the time, give what the Lord is telling you to give. Don't have fear. You know, acknowledge him before men. Absolutely. He'll acknowledge you.
Can you briefly tell us about your conversion? Because our listeners love to hear conversion stories. Can you give us a quick synopsis of it?
The synopsis of it was that my husband, while we were struggling in our marriage, having a horrific time, somehow or other thought he saw me praying. So, quote, he called it praying. And he stopped in the Advent shop and bought me Christmas gifts from the Advent shop.
This is before you
even owned it. Before I owned it. And when I opened my gifts at the time, I opened them and I said to him, where did you find these? Like, where would you even go to buy these? And he said to me, oh, there's a store in Raffles Center called the Advent Shop. He said, you know, I thought you would like these. I thought you would like these. And
what
he said,
a great guy.
Yeah, well.
I loved him the moment I saw him.
You know, and I look back at that start, you know, I think it gives me, you know, God uses everything. And one of the things he uses is our history. And so I can stand before people and say to them, honestly, bring this home. Give this to your grandchild. Give this to your godchild. Don't worry about the outcome. Let God be God and let God do what only he could do. Because I'm a living testimony to that. I was living in sin and pain and sorrow, and I was away from the church when that all happened. I was away. And today, you know, I own 3 beautiful shops. You know, I love God. My life is totally turned around. And it all came out of a gift.
And you're still giving gifts, by the way. You're giving gifts. I know you give gifts to the churches. I know Monsignor Vaughn mentions all the time about the crucifix you gave him. So you're giving still now.
But, you know, you can't miss the fact that God called you. I know the very simple time when I was touched, and it was really when I was fed up with everything. And I was walking out of Fordham University where I was teaching in the graduate school, and I heard the song, Do You Know Where You're Going To? Do you like the things that life is showing you? And I said, what is that? And from that little tiny song came a whole ministry that's covered 40 years now. And it's just an unbelievable way he called. How did he call you, Teresita?
How did he call me? Actually, it was out of a pilgrimage that I did. And actually, his words were, open up a shop.
Mm-hmm.
I said, a shop?
Yeah.
I said, you know, that I knew that that would entail a lot of work. And the shop, and I said, Lord, you know, my first vocation is wife and mother. I have 6 kids. And I said, where do I fit a shop? But he was insistent, and so that's where the shops came out of a word.
That simple word.
A word, yep.
How about you, Tony? How did he call you? And keep it brief if you can.
I'll try to be brief. But he's called me all my life. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to play priest. And when I was 13 years old, I met a nun in church that I used to see every night, and we used to talk about God and stuff like that. And so I've been called at a very young age, but like everybody else, I did slip away. I slipped away. I went into the Marines, but I was called back.
But you notice how we were all in a different place, and led there by evil. Just as we were confused by evil at the beginning of the show. And I don't want to beat that to death, but there is a real live war that's going on in our world and within so many people. And we have to make our listeners aware of this war.
Didn't we?
And realize if they just go with the flow, they're going to be swept away and miss the real meaning
of
Christmas.
Didn't we feel something before the show?
Yes, we did.
And didn't we pray?
Yes, we
about
did.
It?
Right. There was stuff in this room from a group that was here.
Listeners.
And we knew. I felt the spirits of evil that were here. And we prayed, and they're gone. Mm-hmm. But the residue remained at the beginning of the show.
But we won!
Tony, I don't doubt.
But it's like what Sarah says, not
won.
On our watch, not
that's
on
right.
our watch.
You see, you have to make people aware of what's happening today. One of the things that I think is a problem is that, you know what, we've been anesthetized. And it's almost like the old Batman
movie. Who's the PhD here?
Yeah. It's almost like the old Batman movie. They come, you know, kids remember they would come in and they would spray everybody and everybody would fall asleep. Part of us has been anesthetized
and desensitized.
So we're you know what, and we're told, we've been told for so long, oh, that there's nothing really evil out there. Every, you know, just if it feels good, do it. And we've been brought up with that for generations now. And so now that we've been brought up this way, we're trying to turn the wheel back, and we're trying to draw people back to God. And we're in a real battle. This is not, it's no joke. And you need to be fortified, and you need to be strengthened, and you need be in community, and you need to have people, like-minded people together. I was thinking, you know what? I mean, our young people are struggling with drug addiction, alcoholism. I mean, it's in our families. It's in my family. It's everywhere. And I keep saying, you know what? I prayed the prayer Jesus prayed in the garden. Not one shall be lost, Lord God. Not one of mine shall be lost. Not on our watch.
You know, I teach religious ed to seventh graders. I have an amazing, amazing class who is actually thirsting to know about Jesus. And what I did was I put Bibles. I gave them each a gift. The gift was a Bible. They treasure it. They bring it with them to class every week. And the following week, I brought them rosaries. But I didn't tell them. I said, I have gifts for you. I have a weapon for you. I have a weapon that can stop wars. And they go, what? And they're just thinking, what did she bring us? That's a weapon. At the end of class, I take out rosaries and I put rosaries. This is your weapon. Then I go into explaining why. These are gifts that we have to give our children, children's children. Anyone you know should know these things. That's why the shops are important. Not because Sarah and I need to fill our pockets, because we don't need to fill our pockets. We need to get the words out there. And how do we do it? By ministering through the shops, by praying with people, praying over people, just gathering in a place where everyone can walk in and know that Jesus is alive.
You know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but today I start an offer to any listener that's completely free of charge. And it's the Jesus Care package. You know, we have Obama Health Care. Well, I have Jesus Spiritual Care package. And I'll tell you one thing, it's free. And I add as a real conviction, if you like your Messiah, you can keep him if you go on this plan. And if you're worried about finances, you don't have to. Our plan is free. Our plan is forever. It is nothing written. You don't have to read a 300,000-page document to understand our care package. All you have to do is do what Sarah and Teresita and you and Tony and Trevor and I have done, is just say, Lord, let me open your book of my life spiritually within me. Let me know and have the grace that you can give to help me counteract evil so that I can receive the full range of services from the Jesus Healthcare Plan. My healthcare plan is universal. It covers all religious groups, all cultures, all sexes, all socioeconomic status. It's free. It's free. Yours for the taking, listeners, and all you have to do is, you don't even have to go online to sign up. Our computer is within you, and it doesn't jam. It won't get stuck, and you'll finish at the end with a free spiritual care package that will last you not only for the rest of your life, but forever. And you can't get it at the Advent Bookshop store. You get it one-on-one from being in touch with the offer from the King of Kings, Christ the King, the author, his Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And unless you get that, you cannot pass it on to your children, and they will never know the true meaning of Christmas. They will never know. They will be just like us until we got called by simple words. They'll be lost in the ways of the world of man and not open to the ways of the world of Jesus. So listeners, get inside yourself for the rest of this program and sign up for the Jesus Care program. It lasts forever.
And it fits right into your motto. If it's free, it's for me.
That's right.
Don't you live by that?
What's for free, you take.
That was beautiful.
Doesn't it say
that
when
great.
You find Jesus, you're set free indeed?
Yes, absolutely.
You're no longer a slave.
Absolutely. And you
In
find
Jeremiah,
a light. You see
it
the
says,
light.
I know yes. the plans I have for you. They are for your good. They're not to harm you, but they're for your good, because to give you a future of hope. And I think one of the things that's lacking today is hope. You know, people do a lot of wishing, but wishing and hope are two different things. Hope is eternal, and hope does not disappoint.
And I have two books I want to mention that I
wait,
know.
Wait, this one is a paid commercial.
No, this is truth, and I don't care about paying. I'm not playing games. I'm telling the truth. These two books are essential tools. We know the Bible and all that stuff. And you may not even open. It's the most sold book everywhere, but never open. But these two books will be very helpful to you in your daily battle against evil. God Calling. God Calling. That's all.
I read that book. That's a great book.
It is. And yes. What it provides is daily information for you to be able to open yourself to the spiritual care package. And the second one is Jesus Calling, because it's a new book, and it's just like God Calling. It has words for each day for each person to look and read, followed up by scripture, which gets you to open that Bible. Two books.
Yeah.
Now, I bet you have favorite books you could recommend to our listeners that would help them sign up for Jesus Care Program.
I've been reading God Calling for over 20 years now. The beautiful thing about God Calling is most people don't know this, but it's where the 24-hour day book for AA came out of God Calling.
Mm-hmm.
It was tweaked so that they could use it, but it definitely came out of God Calling from two listeners listening to God speak to them and just journaling on what the Lord has said to them. And I would suggest that that's a beautiful thing to do now at this time
Absolutely.
Of the year.
It's a great
is
book.
Is to become a listener so that you too can write what the Lord is speaking to you, because he speaks to all of us.
Yes, he does.
And for those of you who have children or grandchildren, one of the nice books for the children is The Kneeling Santa, and it talks about St. Nicholas,
mm-hmm.
how everybody named him Santa and how we got so far from who St. Nicholas is and now is Santa. And it talks about facts and beautiful stories about St. Nicholas. So that's a great book for the kids during Christmas. Mm-hmm. And
well, there's a beautiful scene in there where Santa
right.
walks into the church
mm-hmm.
and he's crying and he's telling God how sorry he is, how they've forgotten who he is. It's like, where's
yes.
the line for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
They've forgotten what the real meaning of this is.
Yes.
We've fallen so far away. I mean, we know what's going on in the world. We're not allowed to say Christmas. It's the holiday tree. It's the holiday music. It's the holiday this. The word Christ is being just eliminated totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's up to us
to
make sure the word gets out.
Yeah.
And you need something that people can use every day, and in fact, even every moment of every day. That's where Jesus Calling, God Calling, and there's even one that was written many years before that, He and I, which is a woman's account of how God has related to her. And if you have trouble with that, you can get Faustina's book and her
Bible.
The Diary of Faustina. In there, God talks to her.
Yes, absolutely.
And he will talk to every listener who signs up for the Jesus Care Program. Now, go
Palmer,
ahead.
Palmer, do you remember you gave me the book? I can't believe you gave me something for nothing, but you gave me the book, Jesus Calling.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Sure.
I read that book every day.
Isn't it wonderful?
I play. What I do is I play a redemption of a Bible roulette. I open the pages and I say to Jesus, Jesus, what message do you have for me today? And I just thumb the pages and I read the message. And every time I read that message, I use it for that day.
I got some little way to touch on people at Christmas. I know I'm doing your sales job. Buy some Christmas music that's religious, spiritual. Or if it's not Christmas, get some of John Michael Talbot's stuff and some of Father Charles Mangano's stuff. And there's so many others. Father Mangano.
And Al.
Huh? And
don't forget
Al Barberino, of course.
But
also the Menganos have the scriptural rosary. Five albums.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. You can listen to it while you're driving the car, and that way you're fighting evil and you're using your membership in the Jesus Care program.
So we're directing our listeners to buying religious stuff.
Yeah, I don't like this
stuff. Yeah, why not?
You know, we have this beautiful little lamb that does the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. You know what? We have to meet children where they're at. And it's a beautiful way to teach them how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful way. You know, it's the way we learned over and over, hearing something over and over. You know, and that's one of the things that, it's one of my favorite things in the shop, is the little lamb that prays.
We had Dr. Bly's here. Right, Tony?
Yeah, Dr. Bly, she doesn't like to be called doctor, though, but Bly Kaufman, who wrote the children's rosary book, is beautiful. It's illustrated, it's easy to read. And she has a program where she's establishing prayer groups for children all over the country, all over the world. She's in Ghana and all that, where children are getting together saying the rosary. It's magnificent.
Children know truth, and they know people who are truthful.
Absolutely.
And they recognize it right away. So when you feed them a little bit, it can go a long way.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned the rosary. Give a little rosary to a little child. They won't know what it means, but look at Tony. Look what he's doing right now. Look at his hand. Mm-hmm. Look at his hand. He's doing it so automatically. He has the rosary wrapped around his hand. That's a form of protection against evil.
It's holding the Blessed
it's
Mother's
the
hand.
Best weapon.
that's
the best weapon against evil outside of daily Eucharist.
Yes.
And then find some DVDs. The kids love DVDs that explain or that talk about the story of God in a person's life. One that comes to mind is a very old one, The Keys of the Kingdom, with Gregory Peck, about a little priest who was so humble, thought he had done nothing. And then they read his writings, and it was God, and the people saw how great he truly is. Because you have to get across the idea, Jesus is alive. God is alive, and he dwells in us from the moment of conception forever. And we have to open that door forever. And you think of any movies. What movies impacted you? It's a Wonderful Life? Not really.
Song of Bernadette.
Song of Bernadette?
Oh, yes. That was beautiful.
That. Love it. You know, but that's the beauty of, you know what, the beauty of our church is it's given us so many beautiful saints. Such a good history and such the ability that every one of us can identify in some way with one of them.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
It's a great gift.
And they all form a pattern in one way or another.
What all forms a pattern?
All the saints.
Holiness.
Oh, yeah.
They form a pattern, and if you study it, that pattern hits you right in the face.
And the great thing about it is, and Teresa is a great testimony to this, she had her children one summer reading the lives of the saints. She gave each one of her children a different
Every
saint.
Sunday they would choose a new book, and they would read it.
Oh, that's terrific.
And on Sundays we would discuss it, and from that, they actually chose their confirmation name, which saint impacted them the most. One just loved the story of Joan of Arc, how young she was and what she did for Jesus and how much she did. One picked St. Ignatius because of his impact within the church. So just having your children read those things and then discussing it, that's treasures. And I know my children remember those. The ones that couldn't read, I read to them. So reading to your kids, letting them read, discussing it is one of the most important things once you're done with all that. Just keep giving it to them. Keep giving it to them in love.
Yeah.
In love.
Absolutely.
And it will be accepted. And it is accepted by them.
And you know what amazes me? Joan of Arc and Mary were the same age when they said yes. Isn't that interesting?
Very cool.
I think the younger the better.
I think so. Although I do think there's a lot of value for reconstituted old sinners. And there's nothing worse than a reformed alcoholic, you know, or a reformed whatever. People wanted to know, you're Catholic. What kind of a Catholic are you? I said, I'm a recovering Catholic. I'm recovering from all the rules and regulations. into a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, who is my Messiah and Savior.
That's sometimes I come across practicing Catholics. They're not in the game. They're just practicing, but they're not really into the game.
Yeah. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that will create a line for Jesus.
You know, recently,
Christmas.
Teresa and I were given the gift of being in the presence of the elementary principals for Catholic schools. And being there, one of the things that I want to say about that is that my going away from the church was a very rough time in my life, but I had a foundation. I had gone to Catholic school. I had a foundation. The fact that I chose to turn away was my own choice. But when I turned back, I knew where to come back to. Mm-hmm. You know, that foundation was there. My prayer today is that we would give our children a foundation again. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope the shops are able to do. And to pray that there'll be a foundation again where the children will be taught early on about Jesus. They'll be taught early on the importance of going to Mass and the Eucharist. They'll be taught to love God, to be in relationship with God through the love of family. You know, if that they don't see a loving relationship, it's hard to have a loving father when you don't have a loving relationship at home. You know, we want to make laws today, laws for everything. But you know, if we were in love with each other and in love with God, we wouldn't need laws. We would treat each other right.
Yes.
We would follow the only command we need to follow.
Do you remember
love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind?
You've seen the pictures of the babies in the womb trying to move around and squirm around and get out. I imagine after we are born, we are babies in our own womb of God's love that's within us, and we're struggling to get out. And so many times rules and regulations keep us in a straitjacket. And you can't keep love in a straitjacket. You have to let it fly free. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, unless you are born again of the Spirit, you shall not have my life in you. So listeners, this Christmas, say yes to the Jesus Care Program. Let him in and be born again. That's the whole point of this radio show. And it was wonderful. We saw the battle at the beginning. Yes, I know we won, but it was the battle that
I'm
you
glad
have
you're convinced
to,
of that.
I know, but it's the battle that you have to remember. We won this battle, but we have to win the war, not just one battle. We have to win it time and time again throughout each day.
Well, we have the weapons of warfare.
That's right.
We have the Bible. We have the rosary. These are the weapons of warfare. And you know what? I tell people all the time so that we don't get caught up. As Tony was saying before, even though we're in a battle, the thing to know is I read the end of the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We win.
Yeah.
God will be God. No matter what's going on in the world, God will still be God.
We win.
And God will do what only God can do. But we have to do our part, too. That doesn't mean, you know what, that we just sit back and allow things to happen because God's going to take care of it. He has given us certain directions and certain things, certain roles to play in it. Mine and Teresa's particularly might be the stores, the shops, the Advent shops. Yours is Listen Up with Jesus on the radio. But everybody has an active role to play.
Absolutely.
Parents have an active role. Grandparents have an active role. Everybody.
Big time. Grandparents.
Yes.
Big time.
And I tell you know what I tell them all the time? Your job is to save the soul of your grandchild.
Yes.
Right.
That's you've been given
Absolutely.
A great gift to save the soul of your grandchild.
That's a good statement.
You know, that's the power. You know, that's the power we have. So when I think that the gift is you try to let people know, let us help you do that. Let us be part of helping to save the children. You know, I'm so tired of hearing save the whales. I have nothing against whales, but let's save the children
first. Or adopt
first.
The dog. Mm.
Let's save the children first.
Absolutely.
And then everything else will fall into place.
Absolutely.
It's like seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. First things first.
Isn't that what Pope Francis just said? Participate in God's love. Yeah. Come alive in his love. And all these other evils, we know they're there. But if you are built up like Charles Atlas, spiritually, and your muscles are bulging, then all these other things will eventually go away. And every age has their evil that they fight against. But we listeners, us, we have to learn to pray as if everything depends on God, and then act as if everything depends on us under the inspiration of God. It's such, you know, I know I'm coming on heavy today, and I know I'm overriding everything.
You are.
But it is
but
so.
But we love you no matter what.
It's so important. I don't care how heavy I come on. I don't care if I step on toes anywhere. I really don't. Because putting Jesus back in Christmas is significant to me.
I agree.
And there is nobody anywhere that can prevent me from doing and saying whatever I want. And I don't care if people think I'm crazy or nuts. I already know that. I'm crazy about Jesus, and I'm nuts for his love. And that's all I really care about. And you can say, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't. I don't care what you tell me. I'm going to do what Jesus leads me to do. And I know he's leading, because like every other person, he's talking to my heart. And he's talking to Sarah and Teresita and you, Tony, and Trevor. We're talking to all of us right now, saying, okay, guys, game time, game time.
Suit up.
Mm-hmm. How did St. Andrew do it?
Glad you asked that question.
I knew you would be.
Well, first of all, we won. We won. But why did we win? Because we were prepared. We had a backup. And tomorrow's readings are going to tell us that we never know when Jesus is going to come again, and that we must be prepared.
Amen.
We must be prepared. And that's the lesson that we're learning. And in my eyes, this is next time Jesus comes will be the third time. The first time when he was born. The second time is when he started his ministry. And the third time is when he comes again. And we don't know when. We never knew when he was going to come.
I bet you never thought I was going to ask you about St. Andrew. You were sitting there saying, am I going to get to St. Andrew?
Well, let's talk a little bit about St. Andrew.
Why not?
It just so happens that today is dedicated to St. Andrew. And so who was this guy, St. Andrew? He was a fisherman. He worked with his brother, Simon. You know who Simon was?
Yeah.
Okay, Peter. And one fine day, unbeknown to him, Jesus started his ministry. That's when he came out. For 30 years, he was a carpenter. He started his ministry. He started working on the seashore. He went over to Andrew, and he says, follow me.
Yeah.
Andrew, at that time, was a follower of John the Baptist. And so Andrew was like hit with the Holy Spirit, hit with something. And he followed him. Yeah. And he went to his brother, Simon, and he says, you don't know what happened to me. I met this guy, Jesus. He wants me to follow him. I'm going to. Come with me. Let's follow him. I think he's the real thing. And they did. And they followed him. And that was Jesus' first disciple, was Andrew. The first one he approached.
Isn't that what we just described here today?
Absolutely.
To Teresita and Sarah and myself and yourself. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
So everything seemed, when this happened, ordinary. He lived in an ordinary house on the sea. And unbeknown, according to John's gospel, Jesus appears to Andrew. Now, Andrew is mentioned several times in the gospel story, along with his brother Simon. And the brothers James and John, who also followed Jesus. He seems to have been among the closest followers of Jesus, because when Jesus was attracted to Andrew, something attracted Jesus to Andrew, and that had to be his faith, his love. One day, a huge crowd of people had followed Jesus out in the desert. We all know the story, and Jesus was going to talk to them. It became clear that the people were hungry and had nothing to eat. So Andrew noticed that there was a little boy with a few loaves of bread and a few fish and in a basket. And he went over to Jesus and he says, this boy has a few things that maybe we could give. And Jesus asked him to bring it to him. And so Jesus multiplied those loaves of bread and that fish, and he fed, what, 5,000 people with bread and fish left over. Andrew visited a place in Achaia, and he persuaded the wife of an important Roman official named Agis to become a Christian. His name was Maximilla, the servant of her brother, who also became a Christian. It just so happens that this didn't please her husband, Agis. He had Andrew beaten and thrown into prison. Then Agis said that Andrew should be put to death by being crucified on the seashore.
There goes another martyr.
There goes another one. When it came time for the crucifixion, Andrew wasn't nailed to the cross. This wasn't a cross. This was an X. Two sticks in an X shape. And he was tied there tightly. He couldn't move. And he stayed alive for 2 days. But during those 2 days, he kept preaching about Jesus. And he kept preaching about the coming of God. And he kept preaching about conversions. And people came in thousands to listen to him preach. And then finally, after 2 days, he died. And so eventually, when he died, Maximilla and the servant came and took down his body and washed it lovingly like they did with Jesus' body and buried it properly. And so that's the short story of St. Andrew.
But it's everybody's story.
Martyrdom.
It's everybody's story. Follow me.
Yeah, follow me.
And I will multiply the loaves and the fish.
Yes, and you will be saved.
That's Christmas.
And it's funny, sometimes when he calls, you don't know quite why you say yes.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking of the 100 things that could go wrong and why you shouldn't do it. But your yes always, it just overtakes you. You just say yes. In spite of it all, even yes. From the unknown, you just know that you'll be safe.
Yes.
You'll be safe in his hands and where he's leading you. But
once you say yes, I always say, be prepared to fasten your seatbelt.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a roller coaster
you're
ride.
Going for a ride. And so that's what Andrew did. And he said yes, and he followed him. He left everything. He got his brother, Peter, to come. And we all know about Peter. We all know what his fate was. He was crucified upside down.
Yeah.
But still, they were, it just so happens, though, that they were really inwardly somewhat cowardly when he was being crucified and stuff until Jesus sent them the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit was sent to them, they went out to the world and start evangelizing.
Can you imagine 12 men, fishermen, in a room, touched by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
11, I guess, the Judas wasn't there, touched by the Holy Spirit. And now, billions of people have tasted of the bread and the fish that were multiplied by those men through their faith. And the women, there were women in that upper room as well, who were touched by the Holy Spirit. You know, I love what you said, Teresita. You don't know what's happening, but you know you're being called by something bigger than you. And you say yes. And you never really truly know what you're being led to. We have all experienced that. I'm experiencing that again in my life. I said yes, okay, you want to do something new in me. Okay. I don't know what you want, but you're my boss. The pay is little, but the benefits are forever.
And $2 an hour.
That's right. But, you know, yes. And I'm only saying that for our listeners. It's not a big deal, but you know inside of yourself, you squirm and everything else, but you know you're being called this Christmas to sign up the Jesus Care Plan, spiritual plan that will give you spiritual health and wealth that will be there forever. It's such a powerful, powerful message. Mm-hmm. And that's what our radio show is about, isn't it, Tony?
Absolutely. It's about
Jesus. And we have Trevor in there who's a minister, and he is saying yes in his own way. And Trevor, aren't we telling people just what you've experienced in some way? I'm going to ask you to put your microphone on again and just answer. Just tell, isn't this what you're being called to do, too? He's saying, of course. He didn't turn his microphone on. He's shy.
Yeah, but that's what Trevor does. He's a minister. He's a Protestant minister. And we all have one God, and we all minister to one God.
And he has put together through this radio station Saturdays with Jesus in various languages. We have Greek before us and Spanish after us. And we have all different kinds of programs, Preacher Man, and that's his show. And how wonderful it is. Everybody saying the same thing.
And the main thing is, he's our brother.
Yes.
He's our brother. You hear that, Trevor? You're our brother, and we love you.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. If he said
he knows
he gives
you
a box of chocolates, I'm going to get jealous.
You know, in chapter 17 of John's Gospel, I like to tell people that Jesus has answered lots of my prayers. You know, they're too numerous to even to count, to be truthful. I just want to be an answer to his prayer. The one prayer he prayed is that we would all be one. Father.
Yes.
That
Absolutely.
We would all be one.
And that's
what we need to pray. We need to pray that we would all be an answer to Jesus' prayer, that we'd all be
Absolutely.
One. And at Christmas, what better time than to come together as one?
And to think of Jesus.
To come to the crib together.
And that's what we're going to pray for now. Let's hold hands, all of us.
Am I holding your
hand? And you at home, you know, hold hands with those who are here with you. It's that they, in their heart, first of all, hear the call. Hear the call. Harriet, come, follow me. Teresa, come, follow me. John, come, follow me. Anthony, come, follow me. Let them all, Lord, hear your call, and let them all say, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lead me your way, Lord. Help me put my way aside. Help me know your will. Help me live your life in me the way you want me to. Help me to pass on my yes to my children, to my grandchildren this Christmas. Let me rule out the commercialism in Christmas in my home, in Christmas in my life. And I know those of you sitting right here, you have your own prayers to offer. Offer them now, verbally if you can. If you have something you wish to say in terms of, yes, sign me up for Jesus' care. Say anything.
Jesus, we give you praise and glory, and yes, we do surrender ourselves to you, and yes, we do sign up for this Jesus care, and yes, Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks, and we ask that you bless all of us, you bless our listeners especially, and you bless our petitions, and we give you praise and glory and thanks. Stay by our sides, hold our hand, let us know that you are truly our best friend, and so we ask this in the name of your Father, our Creator.
Amen. Give hope to those who are despairing. Lift them out of their desolation. Touch them now. Christmas can be the time for the blues for a lot of people because they're dissatisfied and life is not treating them well. Lord, touch them with your hope and with your love and with your grace. Teresita, anything?
I'm asking for renewals in families. That parents will bring faith into their homes, bring faith within their children, and that they may say their yes to the Lord.
Amen. Sarah?
Father, I come before you, and I pray this day and this Christmas season, this time of waiting, that families would come together, would gather together, that the brokenness, those who are not speaking to each other, Lord, that you would bring them together, that you would let each and every child and each and every parent today know that you are the center of their life. I pray for the broken families. This is a time for some families when it's just so hard, a hard time to gather together, those who are not speaking to each other. I ask, Lord God, that you would bring them back together, that they would come back home, that they would come back to the faith, they would come back to church, they would come back to the Father. They would come before the crib of the baby Jesus and begin anew.
And this is a special holy night. Trevor, if you would put on number 4, because we don't want people to lose sight of the holiness of Christmas. And hopefully Perry Como's there.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of
for yonder
breaks
a new and glorious morn.
Fall on your knees,
encourage you listeners to sign up for the Jesus Care Program. Sign on. All you have to do is say yes. And we know he'll touch you. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of the Messiah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being with us. Thank you for blessing us. And thank you for helping our listeners to get a perspective, the truth of Christmas in their heart. In their heart. And Trevor, put on number 5 at the end, because it's an instrumental. And we're asking our listeners, it's the same song, O Holy Night. We're asking our listeners, open your heart now. Say yes, your way. Allow Jesus the Messiah to take over in your life, in your world, and make it a Merry Christmas for you and your family and your children and your grandchildren. And you want to know something? Those who have gone before you in your generational tree will sing along with you as your heart sings out with praise and joy. And says, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Jesus, we ask that you bless our listeners. You bless Sarah and Teresita, John, and all those that are involved in this radio program, Trevor. And we ask that you bless all our petitions. And so we ask this.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile,